The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Are you making the most of your KiwiSaver investment? Generate is an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of strong long-term performance. Making a smart decision now could add tens of thousands of dollars by the time you reach retirement. Book a no-obligation chat with a Generate KiwiSaver advisor today at generatekiwisaver.co.nz/getadvice. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited, and of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns.
It's August 31st, 2013. Katy Perry's Roar is the number one song in the country. But even louder, louder than a lion, is the cacophony coming from the TVNZ atrium, where a hodgepodge group of comedians, celebrities and vagrant youths are yelling over each other because their microphones are broken. Serious news presenter Simon Dallow is holding a sex toy. Comedian Tim Baer is eating cat food. It's chaotic, it's electric, and within just a few hours, it will all be gone forever. Join us as we remember when TVNZ made the most groundbreaking youth channel of all time in TVNZU. Welcome to Remember When. This is your weekly pop culture nostalgia podcast. My name is Alex Casey and I'm joined, as always, by my two favourite youth presenters in the New Zealand media sphere.
So young.
It's Jane Yee and Duncan Gray.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited to be talking about TVNZU because I feel like I talk about TVNZU every second day.
You were at the definitive you were in history
the demo.
Of it.
You were in the demo, right, to watch it.
I was in the demo to watch it. I was also closely affiliated with one of the main hosts. I was going to university with Rose Mutafio at the time, so it was there for like the entire casting inception journey, stratospheric star rise. But it was only a few years ago I decided to return to it for a story for the spinoff, and I really realised just how much was going on behind the scenes and how truly, genuinely groundbreaking it was. And actually, as we're recording this, it is 10 years since the end today,
which is
pretty crazy.
What was TVNZU?
Let me tell you. So it launched in 2011. It ran for 2 years. It was kind of created to fill the void left by TVNZ 6, which I think was sort of like heartlandy, New Zealandy.
So all those people who are watching the Heartland, they're like, what are we going to watch now? And so they made TVNZU.
They made a youth channel.
But, I mean, TVNZ's got form with kind of creating and, like, it also had MTV back in the day. So this was not its first time doing that. But I think...
And M2 as well.
That's right.
Just putting that out there.
But the point is, I think you're right to think about this so often, Alex. And I hope that TVNZ has had cause to reflect on this because... You know, like when you're trying to start something new, like there's a whole bunch of things you need to get right. And they got them almost all right, particularly on the talent side. Like really, really amazing whoever put together that group, which, you know, like you just look at what they've gone on to do and be. And it was, it's tragic.
So your three, from my memory, the three main, were there three main hosts?
There was a whole channel. So you're talking about You Live.
I'm talking about You Live.
So
I'm thinking of Connor, Nesta, Rose, obviously, and Tim Lamborn. Is that
Tim
right?
Lamborn.
Were they the three?
Give us the whole sketch.
Matt Gibb was the producer.
Right.
But yeah, so just to zoom out again, so TVNZU was the entire channel. It basically had a lot of crazy reruns of like shitty reality shows, a lot of Made in Chelsea
was huge.
A lot of, like, you know, stuff where people open old storage lockers sort of thing.
Great shows.
But the flagship was You Live, yep. Which was 4 till 7. It was also, crucially, Select Live was ending on C4 around this time as well. So there was, like, a gap for that kind of show. And, yeah, the hosts at launch were Rose Mutafio, Connor Nesta, Tim Lamborn, Matt Gibb. And it was 3 hours live from the TVNZ atrium.
That's
it was mostly
the craziest.
Music.
That is the craziest bit.
It was a couch. It was literally an orange couch in a light up U and one or two cameras. But the other crucial part, I think, of TVNZ, particularly U Live, was the fact that they incorporated Facebook really early on at a time where that was not happening. So they were like, I think someone told me when I wrote that story that Sheryl Sandberg used TVNZU as like a case study for years in terms of how they incorporated having a live Facebook chat running alongside the show and bringing it into the graphics on screen. So there was this like second screen thing happening, which seems kind of normal now, but was really crazy at the time. And they would even have a separate camera that would run during the ad breaks. So everyone in the chat room could talk to and interact with the hosts the entire time.
And they were. And like, there were people who are like sort of very regular chatters. Like, I feel like Renee Church, there are some names that are almost like lodged in your brain of people who were like really active participants in it, who almost felt like part of the show through Facebook, which at the time was still a quite a young place, but as opposed to the kind of weird retirement home it's become now.
You might have seen on my face that I'm looking a little bit, just a little bit defensive, just a little bit guarded. Back before TVNZ, we mentioned him. Slightly.
We're going to remember when something else.
Just quickly, I just want to say, M2, we had forums where we live chatted. And very similar. It was different. There was no Facebook.
And they had like a little ticker along the bottom of the screen,
yeah,
right?
And we'd get people. And then when M2 ended, I started up my blog. I went on to win a Canon Media Award for my great blogging. Honestly, the worst.
This is
the worst blog of all time. But I'm just saying, there was chat rooms with live TV out of that building.
I didn't want to take anything from you, of course, and Flipside had happened before. But I mean in terms of literally Facebook being this crazy new platform that everyone was suddenly using for a scrappy little youth channel to tap into that.
Cheryl never name-checked M2. I'll give them that.
Well, you don't know that.
Like, I don't know.
You don't know that.
I do know that. I know that for sure.
She could have talked about magazine. We just don't know for sure. And then what happened? So it ran for about 2 years, and I think I don't quite know how far in, but they decided they would also start a live late show, which was You Late, which had Tim Lamborn and Guy Montgomery as the hosts and would have lots of regulars like Tim Batt. Basically all of like the snort comedians would stop by and do strange segments and pop in. I had a segment on You Late. Don't want to brag. Very short-lived. I think I got invited in once they knew the channel was shutting down.
Hang on, you also had a segment.
I did have a segment on You Live, I think.
What was yours,
you
Alex?
Prime time. You were earlier. Mine was called Citizen Kane. And every week I would come in and bring in a different shitty B-movie to show clips from and talk about. And it was honestly so much fun. I mean, this is what I can't emphasize enough of how, like, chaotic and free but kind of open and just like it felt like anyone could stop by and like try something, which I know is not true.
Well,
but
I mean almost, because it is in the, like, we watched some old clips this morning and there's one where Rose is interviewing Op Shop and one of the guys from Op Shop's just got his kid there and there's just like people are walking in the background just clanging shit. Like, definitely not a, hey, we're shooting here, just keep the noise down kind of an environment. It's almost like no one cared that they were shooting there and we're not going to pay any mind and just carry on business as usual around them.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because, like, you know, Late Night Big Breakfast was sort of legendarily shot in a Target while it was actually operating kind of thing. And TVNZ you wasn't that far away from it in terms of, like, it was, because it's a thoroughfare. It wasn't like a little kind of cul-de-sac of an atrium. It was like you kind of, a lot of people just who were just going about their work stuff just needed to walk through the shop.
You can't get to almost anywhere in the building without walking through the atrium.
Yeah.
And they would use, I mean, they would often pull in like TVNZ superstars who normally I feel like, especially like news presenters who are generally quite guarded and not, you know,
well, and back
not
then
that spontaneous.
Like now that's becoming a bit more sort of normalised because, you know, social media, et cetera. But back then, seeing Simon Dallow be Simon Dallow was very weird.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a good bit. I mean, what kills me is I think the whole final episode of You Live used to be on YouTube. I can't find it anymore. But I remember there's a bit where Connor Nesta asked Maddie McLean, he's like, do you think the news will ever just end. Like, they're just kind of crazy, like, strange, long, meandering interviews. But, I mean, You Late itself was also quite amazing. Like, they had Tim Batt's toilet reviews was a very famous segment where he would come in each week with a different toilet to review, but it also kind of became this strange evolving relationship between himself and Guy Montgomery, which would eventually become, you know, their podcast, The Worst Idea of All Time. There was lots of, like, little relationships and talent fostered on that show, which I feel like it's crazy that they let them all go. You
know? It's crazy they let them all go and didn't understand what that could be to the wider organization. You know, like, I think it's because it had this weird combination, like, it was part sort of student radio, it was part just kind of commercial radio chaos. We've just got to crack each other up in between the songs. You know, it was part amazing talent development. Like, it had all these amazing functions for the organization. But, and I'm not sure if this was in the story, I think it was, basically that there was a tension between TVNZU being this youth channel and TVNZ2 marketing itself as a youth channel, and that as it started to rate, the kind of, there was a, basically a tension around the sort of the ad sales element, and so they basically just shut it down almost because it was too successful. Now, I'm sure the real story is more sort of complex than that, or I'm mangling it, but it feels like a brand. Now, you know, TVNZ has Ree, which does some really fantastic stuff, but in terms of, you sort of imagine a world where instead of shutting that thing down 10 years ago, you let it develop and become more online, and you think, man, TVNZ could have this absolute youth, like, true youth powerhouse with all of these absolute, like, megawatt names. Now, obviously, Rose and probably Guy, and yeah, you know, most of them were too talented to stay there, but if you could just get that as a flywheel running, people knew, oh, if I want to be the next Rose, I go into this place and I shoot my shot. What might they have had? My God.
I think this is, I feel like that is just something that TVNZ has done again and again and again, is had these, started to develop these shows and just not given them enough of a chance to really take off. Because look at What Now, right? When you get something that is an institution and can run forever and you just know is going to be great, doesn't matter who's presenting it. They could have done that very easily with something like M2, Flipside, TVNZU, any number of these properties.
Yeah, but particularly M2.
M2 was in the middle of the night. There's just no, it didn't hit you. I mean, you were on prime time, Duncan Grieve, when you were on TVNZU.
I enjoyed that. It was, you know, I just would go on and talk about different, like, capital P pop music artists every week. And I don't know if I was any good at it, but I enjoyed it. And it, because it was, I think, as you alluded to, Alex, like, it was just so, it was accessible and it didn't feel freighted with, like, if you go on Breakfast, you know that you've kind of got to hit your marks. You've got like 30, it's quick, like a 30-second call and response, and you get your makeup done. And it's just like, it's not conducive to a normal person knowing how to do TV. Whereas this just had this amazing permission system that you could just kind of get a bit weird, and you got more confident and you got better, but in your own specific style. And that matters, you know?
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has the lowdown on everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. Join some of the superstars of the investment and business world as they share advice from their time in the US so you can make your mahi count in this massive market. The Investment Fix podcast, brought to you by Invest New Zealand. Tune in today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's, like, in terms of what you're saying about the duration and the sort of sound bites of it all, there's one clip as well where Esther from Good Morning was also still in the building at this time. She would often stop by. At one stage, she sat down and talked for 7 minutes about Dame Edna.
Well, like, that was what the audience wanted, you know?
That was what,
I love Dame Edna.
Amazing. I want to know about the eating of cat food on the television too.
That was for the finale. So I have mixed memory. I don't think I was there for the final of You Live, but I have very strong memories of spending a lot of time around the atrium and around the studio, particularly, and I think this might have been after Rose's 21st or a big birthday, because it was around the 21st areas for all of us. And we all just piled into the atrium. They were broadcasting. Oh, they were doing, no, they were doing a Made in Chelsea marathon. And we all just sat on beanbags on camera when it would cut back to the studio, just like lounging there, trying not to vomit and die. And it was just like the best time. Like, I just can't even imagine, how did that even happen? That was television.
And it was TVNZ. It wasn't like it was, like, you could almost imagine it at 3 or like a C4 or kind of like it was happening right in the middle of the most, what is fundamentally like the state-owned, historically quite a conservative institution, and it just had this beautiful, free, like fragile and ultimately too fragile thing just sort of happening organically within it. What?
I want to posit a conspiracy theory. How was it funded? Was it New Zealand? Was the New Zealand on air funding put into this?
I don't think it had any funding. It was like they bought the cameras. I don't know. Was anyone paid? Like it was the cheapest looking thing you've ever seen.
I just have this theory that TVNZ did some like, yeah, we'll do a youth thing for a bit. We'll get some money in. And then they just don't care about it, which is actually kind of the best thing that they could do, yeah. Because then it just like takes care of itself, and the people who are, you know, the target audience are the people who are actually making it, and then they're able to make something as brilliant as this. And it speaks to why they're in the atrium and why you're allowed to lounge around in beanbags hungover. You can imagine like ad sales staff walking through with their clients and going, don't worry about them. Yeah. Don't worry about that. That's probably not going to be on air for very long anyway. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we're working on Juke. Like, this is the yuck thing. It's like that ultimately became Juke, like the lads channel.
Oh my God, that's true. It's also sad because as it was kind of wrapping up, they had also started to bring in, like, everything was, as far as I recall it, everything was, like, firing. You Late was crazy. They were bringing in all these, like, comedians and who were doing all these sort of, like, strange skits and stuff. And You Live had also brought in, like, Eli Mathewson had started, Mon Barton had started, Kirstine McKenzie. They had new talent coming in. And then it was Mon Barton's first day when they found out
that they
were closing the channel down.
That's a bad first day.
Devastating, eh? So I think they only had, yeah, they had 1 month left when they found out. And as everyone sort of told me in their recollections, they just went, fuck it. You know, they had 1 month left, and that's when things got really crazy.
That's probably when they made their best television as well.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm so sad that, like, you know, there are clips. You can find little bits here and there, but it's mostly all gone, you know, and I feel sad. I mean, New Zealand is so bad at preserving our pop culture history anyway, but in terms of what a lot of those people went on to do as well, I feel like those archives would be valuable / potentially cancelable, so maybe best they are left.
There are a few gems on YouTube. You guys should definitely go and have a look.
A very young Duncan Grave.
Oh, bless him, talking about Robin. His face still does that too.
I do all
these
do
years
that.
Later. Yeah. Still on that trip. Love it.
He does do that. I'll just read a quote from Ollie Seeley, who's
station
manager. He said, had TVNZ kept that talent and that editorial vision, it would be one of the most powerful media brands in the country right now, he says. We would have reacted to all of the trends and taken a more online approach. It would have done whatever it needed while still keeping its punky roots. Matt agreed. He said, it felt like TVNZ threw away a chance to get in on the ground floor with the next generation of local talent. Mm. And that's Matt Gibb saying that. You know,
yeah.
He's seen some shit. He knows what he's doing.
He's on Treasure Island now.
I mean, it's just true. Like, and it was a very short-sighted decision. Like, I think, and the whole country is culturally poorer for it.
Wow, that's a depressing end.
It's depressing.
Something's
but it's also
sad.
It was a good, don't laugh because it's over, smile because it happened. Don't cry because you're sad.
That
what is it?
Really good toilet poetry from you there.
Don't cry because you're sad. Smile because
it's over.
Because you're still alive.
But just treat yourself. If you've got a spare hour or two, go back through YouTube. There's some very funny clips of like Tom Cruise impersonators jumping on the set. Asta's there. And also some stuff from when the Murray Cam, which was what the camera was called that ran the whole time, I mean, some of the talent told me that they would sometimes forget to switch their mics off when we went to the toilet. Yeah. So during the ad breaks, people could hear everything. Oh, Murray.
Murray.
But that's the kind of intimacy. That was the kind of intimacy that
is intimate.
That is beautiful.
TVNZ also was running.
You just got to read Alex's feature. I think it's called Kids in the Hallway. It's one of the best things the spin-off's ever published. It really captures the energy and potential and the... Just what that station was, and there's been a bunch of it. You know, it's like Max TV would have had the exact same situation. Like, we have form in this area in New Zealand, but TVNZU was a real, real special one, and it's been fun remembering it.
It has been fun remembering. Before we go, I just remembered one more factoid that I learned doing that story is the actual producers, like the switching desk that they literally like kind of taped together that Matt Gibb is using on screen, they actually ended up sending it and using it after the earthquakes in Christchurch because like a whole bunch of newsroom technology wasn't working, got taken out. So it actually ended up being this like rinky-dink thing, had a crucial role in broadcasting, you know, proper news. So I thought that was kind of another amazing little factoid from this time. But yay, thank you so much for going down memory lane.
Oh, I loved it.
If you like this, we've got way more podcasts. We've also got a Substack if you'd like to subscribe to therealpodsubstack.com for weekly reality TV updates. Should have said the reason we're talking about this is because Eli and Matt are on Celebrity Treasure Island, but you probably put those together in your head anyway.
Well done, you.
Thank you for remembering with us.
Yay!
Bye!
Bye!
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.